I'm thankful for his goodness to me. Thankful to see each one of you out. Man, you look down already. I wish I'd had different thoughts. You know, I pray in the morning, and I always too. Do they need challenged? Or do they need encouraged? And I was in the challenge mode this morning, but man, I feel bad now. You look down before we even get started today. So I'll pray for you. You pray for me, but I'll pray for you. Okay? It may be the weather. I don't know. This has not been summer. I don't like it. I'm not real fond of heat, but I'd rather have the sunshine and heat as this depressing humidity and rain all the time. But I'll leave it to that, okay? And you bear with us this morning. Do follow along. If I think it's an important point and you don't look like you're getting it, or you look like you're distracted when I was saying it, I'm going to be tempted to repeat it because I want you to get it. So if we want to get through this quickly, then feedback, nod your head, let me know whether you agree or not, act like it. Let me know you're with me, so I'll keep moving forward, okay? But thankful to see each one of you. Let's pray. Ask God, and I don't want to make light of the burdens. I do know. I have burdens, you have burdens. I know we have burdens, but we have a God. Amen? We're here to worship Him. We're here to learn of Him. We're to be encouraged in the things of God today. Let's ask that God will help us in our morning service, that we receive that which we need. Heavenly Father, we count a privilege to be in your house. Thank you for your goodness. Truly, you have been good to us through another week. We thank you, Lord, that you brought us back together. But most of all, we thank you for your presence and for your spirit and for your word and for the encouragement we can receive in song and in testimony and in from your word, Lord, that we might be able to be strengthened, that through the dark time we're in, we might be able to persevere and see light break again, that we might be able to persevere and make heaven our home. Now help us as we look into your word. Guide us by your spirit that we might receive from you today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't remember if I turned that on or not. I was meditating as I prayed this morning, and as I come through this week, you know, there's times at work and stuff that you have extra difficulties and it takes extra effort, maybe at home, maybe at work, maybe in different places. But I was reminded this week that maintaining our spiritual life takes effort and attention. Maintaining our spiritual life takes effort and it takes attention. I believe, and this is a deep, deep burden of my heart, but I believe God's people today are struggling to maintain their passion for God and His work. I think God's people at large are struggling to maintain their passion for God and especially their passion for the work of God. I see discouragement in a lot of places, and people are not necessarily quitting. Some are. But even ones that aren't quitting are just not engaged fully with God. They're not engaged. The things of God don't engage your passions, don't engage them the way it once did. And especially the service of God doesn't grip, doesn't inspire, doesn't engage them. And I don't just mean the worship service. I mean doing something for God. I mean being employed by God. Now listen to me. I know this is a natural reaction to discouragement. Okay? I understand losses and discouragement. This is a natural reaction. But I'm going to tell you something. It's very dangerous. If we lose our spiritual appetite, it's so easy to get caught up in this life. We're not just a vacuum. You know, if our attention is not focused on God, if our affection's not focused on God, if our energy and our goals and our dreams aren't in the work of God and the things of God, they're going to be someplace. And what's happening, people are still going to church, but their dreams, their affections, their life is someplace else. The focus of it's someplace else. And it's easy to get caught up in this life. And so easily and quietly, you slip into being worldly. And I don't mean outwardly. I mean time world focused instead of spiritually focused. And I see it happening to good people all over the place. And it concerns me. Amen? Especially those that I'm responsible for. It brings a huge concern to me and causes me to examine myself, examine everything. Amen? Because we need to make heaven our home, folks. Amen. The only hope this world has is people knowing God, getting a hold of God to see a change come. There is no hope for what ails us in this world apart from God. Amen. There is no other answer. Amen? There is no other answer to our economy. to our world, to peace. There is no other answer, folks. I want to talk about two simple things this morning. Two real simple things that are two of the biggest hurdles we face in making heaven our home. I've spoken on these before, but I felt led to go back to them again today. Distractions and discouragement. Two of the biggest hurdles you're going to face in making heaven your home is distractions and discouragement. Matthew 13 and 20 says, "But he that received the seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For in tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he become unfruitful." In this parable, the sower of the seed and the seed, this is two cases where the seed fell on ground where it sprung to life. It was good seed and it was real life. I mean, it came to real life, yet it didn't make it to harvest time. You ever start a garden and it start off real well and something happened and it not come to harvest? It's not worth anything, is it? It's not good enough to make a start. Amen? It's not good enough just to make a start. Now, that's necessary, but it's necessary for us to follow through to the harvest. These are two cases of ones who began their walk with God, but didn't finish. We see two problems here, discouragement and distraction. Amen. Deal with discouragement first. I tell you what, discouragement is a huge danger in our walk with God.
Oh, yes.
It's a huge problem today. It is not something to be trifled with. I challenge you, there are more people going down spiritually from discouragement right now than probably all the lures of this world, the things we think of as sins and big sins. Amen. Discouragement is dangerous because it destroys our joy, our peace, and our contentment. And that's what makes up the value of this Christian life. That's what makes it a satisfying portion of the Christian life, is our peace, our joy, our contentment. That's our satisfaction. And discouragement disrupts all those things. Discouragement's an enemy of faith and trust. The heart of your relationship with God is your faith and trust. And when discouragement sets in, it clouds that. You find it hard to have faith, right? You find it hard to trust. Amen? Discouragement causes us to want to give up, right? I mean, what is, when you get discouraged, what is the biggest battle you have? Want to give up. Either give up on God completely or at least give up on putting your best effort in. Amen? Discouragement can cause us to draw back from God. Success in this Christian life is found how? We all know the truth. Where do you find success in the Christian life? Drawing close to God, right? That's where you find success. Discouragement causes us to want to pull away. You know why? Because when things don't go our way, when things go opposite of what we think of, we always, in the back of our mind, we know better than to say it, but we always think God could have done a little bit better. Because boy, if we'd have been in charge, it wouldn't have turned out this way. We would have said it right. Amen? Now, we know better than to say that. We know how that sounds coming out. But there's lingering thoughts back there that if you'd boil it down and what we're really thinking. And so we don't feel like praying. We don't feel like going in God's presence. Amen? Listen to me. We're all going to face disappointments, backsets, reverses, maybe even persecution in this Christian life. The truth is, most people who have followed Christ since His coming have suffered persecution. Now, I'm not saying that's on the horizon. I'm just saying it ain't always everything riding on the clouds and serving for God. The reality is you're going to have some backsets. You're going to have some discouragements. You're going to have some reverses and some bad days. Amen?
True.
When we're discouraged, we tend to draw away from God and tempted to unbelief. That's a huge danger. When we're discouraged, the service of God no longer has the appeal it once had. Amen? Yeah. When we're discouraged, we just soon sit on the couch and show up for service. We're not drawn to communion with God in the same way. We're not rushing to that place of prayer. We may go reluctantly, but it's a different attitude often when we're discouraged.
Yes.
And here's the big danger. when we're in that, our affections and attention are going to be drawn to other things. I didn't say sinful things. I said other things. Amen? Yes. Second big enemy of spiritual life that I want to deal with is distractions. That's a huge enemy of our Christian life. For God to help us make it to heaven, He's got to capture our attention and keep it. And, I mean, that's one of His biggest challenges, is getting our attention, right? The unsaved person, what's the biggest challenge? Getting their attention to focus on where they're really at in life and the things of God, right? Yeah. Well, it's also ours. God's got to get our attention, then He's got to keep it to get us home to heaven. It's so easy, and you know this, if you've lived for God any length of time, you know it's so easy to have our attention drawn to other things to the neglect of spiritual matters. Yes. Amen? The verse we read says, He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. What caused this good start to go bad? I mean, it's nothing sinful mentioned here, is there? I mean, it wasn't that he was lured into sin, he was chasing this or chasing that sinful pleasure, right? What did he mention? Cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches. That's what got a hold. That's what caused this plant to become unfruitful. Just like briars and weeds, it robbed the plant of the nutrition it needed to survive. The cares of this world, listen to me, the cares of this life, this present physical life, the cares of this life can choke the Word of God out of your life. It's a simple daily cares. Taking care of our house, taking care of our job, taking care of our career, taking care of our house. Amen. Making a living. Doing what you have to do. Our amusements, our hobbies. These things that are legitimate in their place can take the place of time and energy and affection that ought to be God's. And we become unfruitful. Not make it the harvest. You know, too many people have begun well only to be distracted by the cares of this life. And this works so hand in hand with discouragement. Because when you're discouraged, it's so much easier to be distracted. Because your attention is already wavering. Amen? Yes. They can be legitimate. But they begin to crowd out that which is really important, consuming our time, our attention, and our interest. There's a real heaven and a real hell that awaits every one of us. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a figure of speech. We are fast approaching an eternity. I tell you what, if you live to be 80, it's quick. It's short. Amen. It goes fast. The most important thing that can possibly happen in this life is to come to know God in a real way and make heaven your home. There's nothing else more important. And to make heaven our home, we have to give attention to spiritual matters. It won't happen otherwise. They got to be the most important things in life. Jesus said in Luke 4:4, Jesus answered saying, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. It isn't, you know, I hear people say, well, I got to make a living or I have to do this. Well, yeah, but you know what? More important than that. Now listen, this is the real truth. More important than that is making heaven your home. Right. It really is more important. Now, I know bad things happen if you don't go to work. I know bad things happen if you don't fix your car. I know that. But I know worse things happen if you neglect your spiritual life. Right. Come on, really. What we consider to be important, we will give our time and attention to. Amen. Amen. Don't get caught up in the pursuit of riches. They're deceitful. Listen to me. Riches are rarely the friend of true spirituality. Do you hear me? Riches are rarely the friend of true spirituality. And yet, I bet there ain't one of us in here really fear getting rich. I don't stay awake at night with the fear of becoming rich. Amen? Riches are deceitful because they promise freedom, peace, happiness, and contentment. And yet, they almost always bring more responsibility, more busyness, less rest, more worry. Amen? Most of us believe we'd serve God better if we was richer. But the truth is, that really doesn't happen very often. I've seen far more often people far more spiritual before they had material blessings than after they had material blessings. The pursuit of riches usually draws ones away from God. And that's because our joy, our trust, and our contentment begins to be found in those things rather than in God. Now, it's one thing to see the problem, right? It's one thing to say, hey, here's a problem. But we need a solution, right? If we're going to make heaven our home, we have to find victory over discouragement and distractions. You're going to face it. It's going to be part of your life. We have to find victory. Now, I've mentioned this before, but I tried to put it in some kind of formula you can remember because I think this is important. Three C's. Listen, write them down, commit them to memory. Commitment, consistency, and communion. Commitment, consistency, communion. Those are the victory over discouragement and distraction. Let's start with commitment. Commitment's the first key to victory. Commitment's the first key to a successful Christian life. And by that I mean there needs to play a place in our life we come to that no matter what, we are committed to making heaven our home. No matter what, we're committed to following God in everything. That it don't matter. How do you think people faced burning at the stake? How do you think they faced death as a martyr? How do you think they faced persecution and survived, and their faith survived? Was it not this? That they had a commitment no matter what, they're going to live for God? I tell you what, I forget his name right now, but one of the old-time holiness preachers said that if he couldn't run for God, he'd walk. If he got knocked down, he couldn't walk, he'd crawl. I mean, he was going to make it. I think it was Uncle Buddy Robinson. Going to make it home to heaven, one way or the other. Not give up. Amen? You may get knocked down, but commitment says, I ain't going to stay there. I'm going to get back up and go. Amen?
Amen.
Commitment means we've decided no matter what, this is truth, and this is what we'll pursue. That there's no turning back. There's no other alternative. That we've committed ourselves to pursue God and make heaven our home no matter what that means. If you have an out clause, Satan's going to find it. Believe me, Satan is going to find it. Whether it's gain or whether I won't go there for the pain, whichever one it's on. If you have an out clause, Satan's going to find it. Amen? This is my lot in life. This is my piece of the pie. God and His kingdom and heaven is my piece of the pie in this life. You start looking around and see what other people have, you know, we can get awful discouraged and think, well, poor me, how hard I have it. Man, I give everything to God. My life's difficult. I tell you what, self-pity is a big enemy of spirituality. Amen. We all visit it, but you better not stay there very long. Amen. This is our lot in life. This is what I've chosen. Ain't nobody forcing me to live this way. Ain't nobody making me make this choice. I have voluntarily chosen this path in life because I know it is the best. Amen? Again, the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 13:44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for the joy thereof goeth and selleth all he hath, and buyeth that field. This is a treasure worth giving up everything else up for. Now, that's easy to say in theory. But when it comes down to actually giving up some things to attain the kingdom of heaven, sometimes we balk at the price. Real commitment means that we don't entertain a thought of going back. It's not an option. There may be a lot of things in life I don't understand, a lot of decisions I don't know what to do, but going back is not one of the options on the table.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Commitment. You're going to overcome discouragement and distractions. Commitment. Maintain your commitment. Check your commitment. Check and see where you're at commitment-wise. And then secondly is consistency. Consistency is being steady and constant in our way of life. Steady and constant. Consistent in our way in life. Holy habits keep us from dangers in times of distraction and discouragement. Amen? We get distracted or discouraged if we're willing to make adjustments all the time on how we feel or the whim of the moment. We're going to get ourselves in some real danger. Holy habits means maintaining a consistency in how we live, whether we feel like it or not. Whether we're discouraged or distracted, we maintain a consistency. A consistency of our daily devotions. That means whether I'm discouraged or distracted, there are times I want my prayer to be throughout the day and spontaneous with God. But I will tell you also, I have some set times that I meet with God, because if I don't, sometimes it can get away from me. Busyness or discouragement. If I don't have a set time to meet with God. Now, I don't get condemned if you have a set time and you can't. Something really comes up and you can't. But I'm telling you, you better find some place in life that works. We're all busy. You hear me? We all got the same amount of time. We all got 24 hours. Right? You got to sleep some of it. Probably going to eat some of the time. We're going to go to work. We're going to fix the car. We're going to fix the house. Going to mow the lawn. But if you're going to make it to heaven, you're going to spend some time with God. I don't know your life. I don't know how your time schedule works. I don't know when you wake up, when you go to sleep. I don't know when you have active mind, when you don't. But this I'm going to tell you. If the destiny of your soul is very important to you, find some time that you make sure you spend time with God every day. Amen?
Yes.
I'll move on, but I can't emphasize that enough. Be consistent in your daily devotions. Maintain your consistency in the house of God and in worship. There's no commandment that says we have to come three times a week. I understand distance. I understand health. I understand all those issues. I understand work schedules. I do. I really do, and I know God does. But I also understand this. This is one of the avenues by which God helps us in our Christian walk.
Amen.
And if we have opportunity, we don't avail ourselves of that help, we may not get the help we need. What I really want to say here is don't allow your feelings to dictate your choices in these matters. Make it a habit of life. Amen? I know some cannot make three services a week. But I'd encourage you, don't fill that time with things of the world. Amen. If you can't be in service, spend it with God. Amen. We have time, hard time finding time to spend time with God? Well, you already had that and carved out. At least most of us for years have had those three times a week carved out. Amen. Set them aside for God anyhow. One of my great fears, and I'm just going to say this, folks. I'd mentioned this to somebody. One of my great fears is, I don't know if I'd get much kickback if I said we're just going to go to a Sunday morning service only. Seriously, now folks, they look at me that way. I don't know how many people would say, oh no, we can't do that. I wonder. Think on it. Listen, this is one of the helps to us spiritually is to be in service. It's a chance to worship God in song. It's a chance to learn about God. It's a chance to be challenged in ways you won't be challenged most of the time when you're outside of the service. It's not about building up any one place. It's not about ego as to how many people's there. It's about us making it home to heaven. If you can't physically be in service because of work, because of schedule, because of health, or something else, at least set apart that time to spend some time with God if you're able. Amen? What we do in moderation, our children will take the excess. Listen to me. Listen to me. If things of God don't occupy more than an hour or two a week for us, our children, our grandchildren, are certainly going to have a struggle coming to know God in a real way. Maintain your consistency in holy living. When we get discouraged or distracted, we're tempted to take liberties to ourselves. Because, especially if we're feeling sorry for ourselves, we deserve a break. Amen? I mean, I need a break. I deserve a break. I've earned this. You know, poor me. All this life's against me. I'm going to indulge myself. I deserve this. Not careful, we go to a place we wound our conscience. When you wound your conscience, unless that breach is healed, you bring a separation between you and God. And unless that breach is healed, you begin a downward spiral that's especially dangerous if you maintain a religious profession but lose the connection of reality with God. And if I'm not mistaken, some people have gone there. If we're not careful, they'll either become religious with no reality, or it'll down spiral into unbelief and abandonment of God totally. And I've seen both happen. We need to maintain our consistency of our worship, both in public and private life. It's one of the ways we survive the cold spell spiritually in our own life. Consistency in our holy living keeps us from many dangers in times of discouragement or distraction. And then finally, victory over distraction and discouragement is found in communion. The satisfaction of a true Christian life is found in communion with God.
Yes,
that's what your heart longs for. That's the missing piece. That's what's empty. Satisfaction isn't found in a Christian life and just living a holy life. There is a satisfaction in that. But if you're not careful, unless if God's left out of the picture, it becomes a self-satisfaction and self-righteousness and actually feeds against true spirituality. The core of a Christian walk is knowing God. It's being in right relationship with God. It's having a real relationship with God. That is found in our communion with God. Communion. And by that I mean talking to God and Him talking to us. A time of prayer, a time of meditation. Communion is where peace is found. I can be in all in a turmoil. But if I really get alone with God and spend time with Him, it has the settling, has the peace effect to bring peace back in my heart.
Yes, it
it's where trust and faith are cultivated. I can be filled with fear. But when I find a real place of communion with God, it's where my faith and my trust is able to be restored. Communion is your daily time spent with God. It's the time of finding assurance in God's Word. I don't know how many times I go to the Psalms or other places to find the assurance I need in these words. It's finding assurance in time of prayer. Communion is also found in our worship of God. When we come in and our worship is expressing our awe, our gratitude, our thankfulness. In our public worship services, it has the worship of God, whether in song or in testimony, it has a way of restoring the awe. You know, what a great God we have. The wonder of this great salvation. It has a way of restoring the joy and the thankfulness that's deep-seated in our relationship. Communion brings a warmth and life back into our creation relationship with God. It's the heart of knowing God. Amen?
Yes.
I want to challenge you this morning. It's a battle you're all going to face, I face. I mean, I battle these things. Sometimes more successfully than others. There's been times in my life where distraction has proved to be a real threat to my spiritual life. Done damage to my spiritual life. There's times discouragement has threatened. And in fact, for a period of time, discouragement was winning some of the battles in my life. I still battle them, folks. I think sometimes more now than ever. There's things we battle. But here's where I find victory, and here's where I think you can find victory. In commitment to God, no turning back, no thought of something else.
Amen.
Consistency, staying the course, staying consistent in our life, staying consistent in our worship, staying consistent in our prayer life, and then find a place of real communion with God. If you find commitment, consistency, and communion, you will be able to find a place of victory over discouragement and distraction. May not be immediate. That don't mean you snap your fingers and it happens. But it is the path to victory. As you follow that path, you will find a place of victory in those things. Amen? I'm alarmed for some. Because I see discouragement and distraction taking hold. I'm alarmed for others because you're in a dangerous position in life where some of the means of grace that you have been accustomed to are no longer at your disposal. And by that I mean the consistency of being in service three times a week and being able to fully engage yourself in the service and all those things that the means of grace, the avenue by which God supplies that which we need spiritually. Because of situations, those have been disrupted. But in the midst of that, if you are going to make heaven your home, if you're going to influence your children and grandchildren to make heaven their home, we still got to find victory over these. Amen. We can't succumb to discouragement and distraction. And I believe the path to that is a reaffirmation of your commitment that no matter what, I ain't turning back. This is do or die time. I think it was Brother Tim. This is do or die. We're going on no matter what. And then secondly, stay consistent. I know how real life works. I know how self-pity works. I like it too. I know the temporary pleasure you get out of self-pity. But I also know the spiritual danger involved in it. And that is, we can begin to give ourselves liberty that we really, in a clear-headed time, would think better of. Stay consistent. Maintain your holy habits. Maintain your consistency of life. Keep the routine. Amen. I know spiritually, I told you that. It isn't found in just going to church, but I'm going to tell you something. Those are conducive habits to getting the help we need. Maintain it. Amen. And then above all else, make sure you maintain your communion with God. We have no spiritual life apart from that. Remember the parable, the branch? He's the vine, we're the branch. If we're cut off from the vine, we're going to wither and die. That communion is our lifeblood. Communion with God is our spiritual lifeblood. Maintain it. I want to see you make it. As I look around this building, I have confidence. Every one of you that's of age, I have confidence in your walk with God that you want to make heaven your home. I do. I have that confidence that your purpose is to make heaven your home. But I know Satan is battling hard in the day and time and we're in. And this is two avenues. This ain't all of it. This is two avenues that he's using to ensnare good people and distract them, discourage them, get them off the path. And I want to encourage you, let's make heaven our home. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. As she stands, we sing a verse of song. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your help. And I pray, do more than I can possibly do. Take the truth that's here and convey it to hearts that are here that they might find that path that leads them back to a place of victory, satisfaction in their Christian walk. Help, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name.